Part 2. For the first 3 days of our voyage, the weather was very good, so the passengers were all in a good mood and friendly to each other. But Wyatt and his sisters were just the opposite. As I've said before, it was not unusual for Wyatt to be unfriendly. I was surprised, however, that his two sisters, who were usually very sociable, spent all their time in their cabin and wouldn't talk to anyone. Mrs. Wyatt, on the contrary, was very friendly and talked to everyone. She made friends with most of the women, and to my great surprise, was very coquettish with the men. After a short time, the women passengers all had an opinion about her, and their opinion wasn't a good one. They said that she was good-hearted, but completely uneducated, and not at all pretty, and most of them laughed at her. The question everyone was asking was why Wyatt had married her. The obvious answer was that she must be rich. But I knew this couldn't be true, as Wyatt had told me that she had no money at all. "I married for love," he had said, "and only for love. My wife deserves all my love, and much more." When I remembered his words, I was very perplexed, and began to think that my friend had become insane. What else could I think? He was so intelligent, so well educated, and had such a love of beautiful things. How could he have married such an ugly, stupid woman? Everyone on the ship saw that he spent all his time alone in his cabin, while she spent all her time in the public areas of the ship, talking about my beloved husband, Mr. Wyatt. I decided that he had married her for some reason, which I couldn't explain, and that he was already sorry that he had done so. I felt compassion for him, but I was also angry with him for not telling me that he had bought the painting The Last Supper, and I decided to get my revenge for this. One day, when he came onto the deck of the ship, I took his arm and walked with him. He was still in a very unfriendly mood, and he didn't speak much. I tried telling him some funny stories, but he didn't laugh at them. When I thought of his ugly, stupid wife, I again felt sorry for him. But I had decided to talk about the oblong box so that he would understand that he had not fooled me and that I knew what was in it. "That box in your cabin is a very strange shape," I said with a smile. What happened next convinced me that Wyatt was insane. First, he looked at me as if he didn't understand what I had said. Then, his face became very red and a moment later terribly white. Next, he started to laugh loudly and didn't stop for 10 minutes. Then he fell down on the deck and seemed to be unconscious. I called to some other people to help me, and after some time, we succeeded in waking him and putting him to bed. By the next morning, he was all right again, physically at least. After this incident, I spoke to the captain, who advised me not to try to talk to Wyatt again for the rest of the voyage. Like me, the captain seemed to think that Wyatt was insane, but he told me not to mention this to the other passengers. Soon after this event, something happened which made me even more curious about Wyatt and his family. One evening, I had drunk too much coffee, and so had difficulty falling asleep that night. My cabin was near the dining room of the ship. Wyatt's cabins were on the other side of the dining room, and were separated from it by a sliding door, which was never locked at night. There was often a strong wind, and when the ship moved from side to side because of this, the sliding door opened. My bed was in such a position that, if my door was open, which it often was because of the heat, and if the sliding door was also open, I could very clearly see the cabins in which Wyatt and his family were staying. That night, while I lay awake, I saw Mrs. Wyatt quietly leave Mr. Wyatt's cabin about 11 o'clock and enter the extra cabin. As soon as Mrs. Wyatt went into the extra cabin, I began to hear strange noises coming from the cabin in which her husband was. I listened very carefully, and after some time, it was clear to me that Wyatt was taking the lid off the oblong box. He was using some kind of tool to do this, which he must have covered with a cloth in order not to make too much noise. I listened intently and thought I heard the exact moment when Wyatt took the lid off the box and then put it on the bed. Although he was trying to do everything quietly, there was a noise when the lid touched the wood of the bed. After that, everything became quiet again and stayed that way until early morning, apart from the sound of crying coming from the cabin. This sound was almost inaudible, and I decided that it was probably my imagination. Why would someone be crying in Wyatt's cabin? It was clear to me that Wyatt had opened the oblong box so that he could enjoy looking at the painting he had bought, and there was no reason why he would cry while doing so. It was impossible to explain, and it seemed more logical to think that all the coffee I had drunk was causing me to hear things that didn't exist. Very early in the morning, I heard Wyatt put the lid back on the box. Immediately after this, he came out of his cabin and went to get Mrs. Wyatt from the extra cabin where she had spent the night, and she went back to their cabin with him. I decided that they were not really living together and that they would soon get a divorce. Now I was sure that this was the reason they had taken an extra cabin. I had finally solved the mystery.